Welcome to this esports focused podcast with Oliver Weingarten, who is the CEO and founder of London United, which is an esports organisation which aligns with social purpose. Hi Oliver, how are you?
I'm very well, Leah. Thank you.
And we also have Mark on with us. How are you, Mark?
Yes, I'm here. I'm looking forward to talking to you, Ollie. I'd look on your website and it seems that the social purposes behind the company are very important for the company. So I'm very much looking forward to talking to you. It's a very interesting space to be discussing. So looking forward to it.
I absolutely love your kind of tagline and everything, and I'm really excited to get into that. But first of all, before we jump into it, shall we talk just a little bit about your background and kind of where you've come from to get into esports, basically?
Yes. So, thanks very much for having me on, Mark and Leah. I'm looking forward to having a chat. I think it's a very pertinent topic to be discussing because, particularly with the pandemic, esports has become more prominent. But you know, I wasn't always in esports. I trained as a lawyer in Glasgow, and I actually qualified as a lawyer in England and worked at the English Premier League for 7 years as a general counsel in commercial and IP. And you know, fantastic opportunity, of course, for a newly qualified lawyer. But for someone that loved football the way I did and still do, it was like a dream job. And within 3 months of going there, my boss left. He went off to the FA and I had a sink or swim challenge put in front of me. And my responsibilities grew massively. I was involved in sponsorship deals with Barclays and Wrigley's. And I was suing YouTube in the US. I was suing pubs that were using foreign decoder cards to usurp having to pay the commercial broadcaster for their rights. Mm-hmm. I was involved in public policy for better protection of intellectual property. Everything fundamentally to do with protecting the Premier League's revenues fell to me. So it was a fantastic challenge, one that you know I don't think I'd be where I am now if I hadn't had that footing. And actually, from the Premier League, like many lawyers, I got out of the law as quick as I could, and I ended up going into another piranha pit, so to speak, which was Formula One. And it wasn't working for Bernie Eccleston; it was working against Bernie Eccleston for the Formula One Teams Association. So this was the teams had come together; they'd formed an association, and whilst Bernie viewed it as a union, we viewed it as a body that wanted to improve the sport. So you'd make suggestions to Bernie, but if you know anything about Bernie, you probably appreciate his reaction to social media. Doesn't make money, not going to do social media, but that's not the idea. It's to harness a fan base. But it was a fascinating 3 years, very challenging environment. The amount of leverage Bernie had, I could never have anticipated or estimated prior to going there. Learned a lot. Got out with a few scars. I was a walking dartboard in the paddock. And after that, I worked in sports technology and esports, and that opened my eyes up to the potential growth of that sector. I can actually tell you that I went to Wembley Arena at the end of 2018 for the Counter-Strike finals. I'd never been to Counter-Strike esports event. In fact, I'd never even played Counter-Strike, but I was doing due diligence about if I went to work in esports, what was the entry point for me? So I was doing my due diligence, and Wembley Arena sold out on a Friday afternoon tells you that something's going on there and somebody is doing something right. And when you go there and you see the demographic, it's young, it's families, they're not all drinking beer, they're buying merchandise, the production is, it's encapsulating, it is short form, it's snack size content. If you don't understand something, you can ask someone, then you can really pick it up quite quickly. I realized that that was the place I had to be. And ultimately, that was the journey that I've come on to end up setting up London United.
And I mean, you've kind of answered that. So was it just, it sounds like you had a little bit of the wow factor, and did that just really inspire you to kind of go, right, this is, I need to make a change. I want to be in this kind of industry. And that's what inspired the move to esports from traditional sports, because that's quite interesting that you've kind of started off in traditional and moved over.
Well, I dabbled with esports when I was working in sports technology. It was essentially around Formula E, motorsport and esports. And I love my motorsports friends, but that's not really true esports. If you look at the top 10 most viewed esports on Twitch, you're never going to see the F1 esports up there, sadly. It's always going to be Call of Duty and Fortnite, etc. And I wasn't quite sure about the entry point into esports, but I knew that I had to do some research, and I felt that from a traditional sports background, I could potentially bring some fresh views in. So once I'd done my due diligence, which included going to Wembley Arena that Friday afternoon, it was about trying to decide, should I go to a publisher? Should I go to another team? Should I go to a tournament operator? And ultimately decided probably the best place to take my ideas and what I felt I could bring in a positive way was to set up my own business.
Okay. And this is what, around 2018?
It was the end of 2018, yes.
Yeah, okay. So not so long ago. I mean, how new was esports at that time? Obviously, it's right now, it's a lot of people have heard of it, but it's still very early stage. When did it kind of kick off?
Well, esports has been around for 20 years. I mean, look at Sam Matthews, who set up Fnatic. But I think the problem is more perception. Mm-hmm. If you think about gaming and esports as an extension of that competitive gaming, you probably think about teenagers in their bedrooms.
Mm.
You don't think about the millions of dollars of prize money, the millions of viewers on platforms like Twitch, where are owned by Amazon, the brands that are coming in, you know, whether that's Ben and Jerry's or the car manufacturers like Audi or Subway, who've announced a deal today. And in this country, particularly in the UK, I think it's been quite nascent. But if you look at Korea and the US and Asia, they are way ahead of where we are. The challenge I have found, and particularly actually in the early days of London United, when I was talking to potential investors, was they could not understand the concept of people watching people play video games.
Mm-hmm.
But then you say, but you go to a football match and you watch people kick a football around. It is no different.
Yeah, that's actually a very good analogy.
It's just the way technology and media have converged. And I think in some respects that what the pandemic has done is it has brought esports more to the forefront of people's minds, because those with kids see that the kids are on screens probably more often than they'd like. But the flip side is actually it can be used for education benefits as well. Mm. And that's where we come in.
And I mean, we've always had sort of multiplayer games, haven't we? You know, and they were always a lot of fun. It was more fun to play with your friends at home on your Nintendo 64, if you're sort of my age and remembering that, or the PlayStations. And it's always a lot of fun to have people around and do the multiplayer. And then, of course, we moved into, I guess, when the internet started to become a bit more widely spread, you would have things like Xbox Live. And I was a bit late to that, but I remember my younger brother used to play Call of Duty online with the little headset, and it was quite cool. But what do you think the catalyst has been for us? Has it been the increase in technology in terms of internet, but also in terms of, you know, even things like camera equipment becoming more affordable to people in their bedrooms?
Yes, I think it's technology and accessibility for the reasons that you've mentioned. I would always probably say technology has sped up the growth of esports because, you know, the nature of esports and being competitive gaming, you need to be connected, don't you? But the fact is that, you know, even if you can't afford a PC or a console, you could probably do it on your mobile as well. I mean, everyone is a gamer. You sit in the train in the morning, or when you did, in the morning going into work, you see everybody is playing games, whether it's Candy Crush or Football Manager, just to name two. Everyone's playing video games. Technology has facilitated gaming, and there's no stigma attached to gaming anymore, because you can have a very successful career in video game sector, whether that's in esports, whether it's at a publisher, whether it's a tournament operator. And I think, you know, it's just become very accessible. I mean, I was playing video games when I was much younger. I had an Amiga. It was an Amiga or Atari in those days, and I had an Amiga. And it was very social. It was a social enterprise, essentially, for me to play games. Then you go to university, and it's still an extension if you're playing Mario Kart on Nintendo. You're getting together with your friends, and ultimately, it's just an extension of that.
Yeah, okay. I mean, we'll talk about esports concept in general, I think, and where it's going a bit later on. But let's have a look at London United then. So you came from the Premier League, as you say, and that sort of lawyer background to start London United. And you say that it's an organisation that unites esports and gaming with a healthy lifestyle and social issues. And the thing I noticed was we use esports to serve society. So what there's obviously an ethos behind London United. It's more than just, you know, an esports sort of company or platform. What is the ethos behind it? What is London United all about?
Well, what we are all about is that we encompass social impact. But I think I have to go back a little bit to what I mentioned earlier, is that there is no stigma attached to gaming anymore. You can have a career in gaming. And what we want to ensure is that if you're going to have a career in video gaming, competitive video gaming, it's not endorsed to sit in your bottom 23 hours a day, that you understand the importance of health and nutrition and looking after your body like an athlete if you want to have those gains. And ultimately, we felt with London United that a community-focused, grassroots-focused organization that focused on a city, although the internet has no boundaries, that resonated with social issues could be a good lever to attract community and brands and ultimately monetize the property. But social impact is at our heart. It's not tokenism either, because we have delivered physical and online events addressing social purpose. You know, we've worked with the Mayor of London. We've worked with the Rio Ferdinand Foundation. We've tackled knife crime at Lewisham Shopping Centre. We've linked participation in sport with gaming around FIFA. Everything we're doing is authentic, but we're using the medium of gaming and esports to address these issues. And that is to stand out from the crowd, quite frankly. Yes, it's of course we care, but we're not a social enterprise. We're not a charity, we're not a not-for-profit. We are an organization that, of course, wants to make money, but we want to do it by encompassing social impact because we believe that that is the way forward. And, you know, I saw a lovely quote the other day that I think it was in Forbes that said that consumers are 4 to 6 times more likely to purchase from champion or to purchase and protect and champion purpose-driven companies. Mm. And we have seen that a lot more brands having that almost CSR angle to them and wanting to align in esports with organizations like ourselves for that reason. So hopefully that answers your question, Mark.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I wonder what kind of happens day to day? What is happening on the ground? What are you doing? You said tackling knife crime in Lewisham. What are the real kind of actions that you've taken and then to result in that reduction in knife crime?
Well, day to day, we are looking at what are the pertinent issues, what relationships do we have, what does it make sense to champion. So broadly, we're looking at quarters of the calendar and we're saying this will be the impact issue we address in this quarter, this will be the impact issue the following quarter. Is there a charity? Is it the mayor's office? Is it there are a particular brand that want to work with us on this? But in tandem with those campaigns to address social issues, we have to build out the business and we have to have that grassroots roster. We need the premium rosters, the content creators, so that we can get the brand visibility. Otherwise, these campaigns will be meaningless. So just to give you some anecdotal evidence, in December, we worked with the mayor's office to put on what we called initially the Interborough Esports Champs, and that was to fuse education and esports. That was to bring in underprivileged youngsters and say, you want to have a career in esports, we're going to give you an esports tournament, but before that we're going to give you skills that can be used in esports to, if you want to have a career there, but actually are transferable: social media management, video production, video editing, public speaking. And we brought in academics and we worked with the industry, both from the esports sector and traditional sports sector. So you had Man City and you had Fnatic involved, as an example. And we ran 2 weeks of digital workshops, and then we ran 3 Twitch streams, which encompassed some of the content from those workshops, and also had an NBA 2K and FIFA tournament. Going forward this year, we've got campaigns around women in esports. We are doing an anti-racism stream with the Rio Ferdinand Foundation, and we're looking at safeguarding. Now, for us, it's extremely important. Knife crime is a great example that if you do it, you have to do it the right way. We are not experts in tackling knife crime, but we believe we have a platform that can help address the issues, raise awareness of the issues, and can have some sort of impact. So for a night in Lewisham, we managed to get people off the streets and engaged with London United and ran a competition, which was streamed to 30,000 unique viewers on Twitch. And that was called Grime Against Knives. And we worked with a music artist, an influencer from that area, and we worked with the police and the local authority. But from the start, we say to them, the messaging has got to be delivered by you or agreed with you, but we can be that platform then to engage, if that makes sense.
Yeah, okay.
And so I think, I mean, that's brilliant. And I really like your kind of ethos, and I like how you're, you know, the social issues and tackling all of that. And, you know, you've got your kind of company tagline and it's esports for good. Can you kind of tell us a bit more about this? Like, why is that specifically important to you? I know you've kind of talked about that, but is there, was that really important to you, kind of going into this company? Was that something at the forefront of your outlook?
Well, quite frankly, when I was setting up this business, I felt, what is our USP going to be? There are a lot of esports organizations out there, some still being run out of bedrooms, which is a typical stereotype, but some a lot more professional and a lot more advanced than some, you know, in a similar position to us. And for me, it was, what is our USP? And we said, we want to provide grassroots gamers with this opportunity to play pro, but we want to do it the right way. We will have premium rosters because they get you the visibility, but they can still interrelate with the grassroots rosters, just like an academy. And what is the USP going to be that, you know, lets our message resonate with everyone we're trying to target? So we came up with, we are for gamers that give a 4X. Now, some people love that. Some people think, well, if you're trying to target a young audience, does that look great? What it does is it gives us a USP. If you put London United alongside 10 other esports organizations, you go, those are the guys doing social issues. Those are the guys that are for gamers that give a 4X. Whereas a lot of the others, you would just say they're just competing to be as successful as possible. And yes, what we compete in, of course, we want to be successful. But what we really want to do is build out the visibility of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I noticed you kind of specified young people there. And I've also seen on your website, you've kind of looked at loneliness and mental health issues in younger people. And especially over COVID, I know that with people being stuck at home, that's quite a big issue. Do you think esports, because it's got that kind of team spirit, do you think that does have the potential to help with that loneliness aspect and mental health issues that young people are dealing with today?
I think so. We worked with a charity called Calm that's for male suicide prevention. We have had a lot of anecdotal evidence from people in the industry that, you know, COVID has had a really adverse effect on them, but actually playing video games and having that social element to it has made a huge difference. But what we have also wanted to say is you don't need to be scared about talking about your feelings, so to speak, let's run a stream and let's get you involved and, you know, bring this issue to the fore. And if we can raise money or at least awareness for a charity at the same time. So yeah. Loneliness, you know, it's front and center. We were involved in a YANA campaign, which addressed that in the early part of the pandemic. And we used that as an opportunity actually to find a gamer to play FIFA and gave him the opportunity, or her, it was a him, but a him or her, the opportunity to come through this competition and then be given a week of being treated like an athlete. So if you're a professional gamer, this is how you'd be treated. You would have your mental health session, your physical health, your nutrition session. And then that player actually played against a gamer from Fnatic live on Twitch. So I had a real experience. So we used it not only to address mental health, but also to provide opportunity to someone that might never have had that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's brilliant. And I mean, I suppose really sport in general, any kind of sport, whether it's esports or traditional, you know, so-called traditional sports, that's what it is. It brings people together, doesn't it? And I know you said earlier about some people kind of find this idea of esports a bit alien, but really it is all about just bringing people together, whether it's fans, players, you know, whoever's involved. And I think that's something that's great about esports. And, you know, hopefully people will start to, as it becomes more and more popular, which I think it's obviously on quite a good run at the moment. Hopefully people will start to realize that.
Well, we have we seem to love strap lines, but we often use the hashtag We Are United, and united is purposely referenced because we think it breeds community and that sense of belonging.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, yes, that's very interesting, Ollie. I wonder if we can perhaps look at the business for just a few minutes. Obviously, it is a business. You want to make money, put on events, I guess, and make revenue through that. But what are your plans to build the business to make it a success?
Well, the plan is to scale. So we prove London and we can go anywhere, essentially. There are gamers all over the world. There are social issues that need addressed all over the world. So we believe that if we can nail the London model, we can take that anywhere.
Okay.
How do we generate revenue? We generate revenue through sponsorship, as you alluded to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, traditionally, that has been through events, but we are not just an events company. We're an esports org that has a variety of assets, and events and campaigns are just one. But we have rosters playing. So we've just acquired a premium roster in an esports title called Valorant. We have a Fortnite pro, we have a FIFA pro, we have a League of Legends team. We have content creators. So we have actually a lot of inventory that can be sold, quite frankly. So sponsorship doesn't just mean on events. We want to be a lifestyle organization. You may have seen we have merchandise. If we were on video, you would see my merch range. We want to have a merch line that generates substantial revenue. But to get to there, we recognize you need the visibility. And that's what Premium Rosters does. It helps build out the visibility. We're also looking at ambassadors, the right ambassadors that resonate with the demographic. And you have to be careful on that front because the community is savvy and they can see through a lot of what you're trying to do if it isn't authentic. And where we ideally want to get to is the audience that we are engaging with grows is to a recurring rev stream of membership. So like you may join a young Arsenal fans club, for example, for £25 a year, you get your free piece of merchandise, get your partner benefits, just like any other membership scheme. And then there's ad revenue and there's player transfers. Ultimately, you discover talent. If you can't hold on to that talent, it's like any other industry in sport. There's a market for players to be transferred across to other teams.
Mm-hmm. Well, just explain what you mean by rosters. What do you mean by that?
So it's my jargon. But for me, the roster is the talent I have within London United. So it's the teams, it's the content creators, the players, yes.
Yes, okay. Well, that brings us nicely onto teams because I'm going to sort of touch on that. So when you talk about the teams then, I can see on the website today you've got Valorant, you've got Fortnite, League of Legends, FIFA. So these are teams then that play that particular game.
So each of those titles is its own esport. So Valorant is published by Riot Games, for example, Fortnite, Epic, FIFA, EA, League of Legends, also Riot. And some of these publishers operate leagues in which you can compete. Some are professional leagues, some are grassroots amateur leagues. And it's for us to decide if we have an entry point, whether we want to go into it. So with Valorant, there's five players that we have that represent London United and play together.
Okay.
In League of Legends, again, we actually have a team that represent London United. Fortnite, we have a single player. So that's how it works, basically.
Okay. And so the people on the team, then they are just they're just ordinary people who... What do they audition? Do they apply to join a team with London United? How does it work?
Yeah, we've held tryouts actually. Okay. Particularly pre-COVID, we held physical tryouts. So even for Grime Against Knives, that was about finding talent in Lewisham to represent London United at the Apex Legends game. When we did the FIFA event, where we worked with the charity Street League to link participation in sport, again we signed FIFA players to represent London United. But the talent that we have working with us is a mix of grassroots and professional talent. So professional talent you'll find probably now is represented by agents such as those representing other talented musicians or sportsmen. Like Stella represent gamers, but they represent Gareth Bale at the same time, for example. And it is up to organizations to decide whether they want to try and transact to sign that talent, or they just want to be in the grassroots. And we've decided to have the hybrid because we want to build out the visibility at the same time as being able to develop and nurture and educate the grassroots.
Okay, and then the teams will, yeah, they'll compete in various leagues, and then there's presumably prize money to be won, that kind of thing.
Yes, prize money, but for us, it's as important to ensure there's obligations around content creation, because that, again, is another way of how you're going to get eyeballs to the property.
Okay, yeah, okay, so content creation, yes, that will then sit on, well, Twitch, presumably, yeah.
The Twitch, I mean, it could be Instagram, it could be short form content for Twitter or YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah, just general content obligations.
Interesting. Okay, that's great. And you mentioned just before about you were doing capital raise. Do you want to make some comments on that?
Well, we've decided now is the right time to accelerate our growth. It's a little bit like the spaceship. We need a bit more rocket fuel because what we have done is we've proven the model, and you know, we're ready to go out to raise some money to help, you know, accelerate our growth. Essentially, you know, we've had some fantastic eyeballs on our events. We had 160,000 watch and unique viewers watch our YOP Esports champs, and that was just in one stream. We've had attendees come to physical events. We've worked with brands. We've worked with the mayor's office. We've got some exciting plans in the horizon.
Okay.
And we want to continue to be able to scale out and you'll build out the community, build out the platform, etc. So we feel now is the right time to go and do the seed round.
Okay. Okay. And where can people access you? Where can people find out more, like your website address and other kind of places that they can go and seek you out?
So they can find us on LinkedIn, LDNUTD, or they can find me on LinkedIn. If they want to go to the website, it's LDNUTD.GG. Mm-hmm. I know that throws people, but most gaming orgs have got .GG.
Okay. Okay.
And you know, other details around the raise will be announced in a couple of weeks, or probably by the time that this podcast comes out.
Okay. Okay. And of course, normally we talk about companies that are listed. Is there any plans to do that at some point, like seek a stock market listing, or is that much further down the line?
Well, it's 100% in the planning, but it would be irresponsible of me to commit to a date as to when I think it'll be viable, because ultimately for us, you know, we want to be able to ensure that the model in London is proven out to be able to scale when I think that is probably going to be the right time.
Okay. Okay. Super. That's great. Okay. Leah, did you want to ask anything else?
Yeah, I think if we just kind of, we can tie it up. I just wanted to ask, what are your thoughts, Ollie, on just the esports space in general? The industry has grown so, so much in the past decade. What do you see for the sector in the future?
Well, I often get asked if esports is in a bubble and if that bubble is going to burst. And I always say it's not a bubble because bubbles burst. You have seen the growth in esports, whether it's in revenue, whether it's in viewers over the years, whether it's the amount of players in each title. It's only going one way. Yes, the pandemic has probably accelerated it or exaggerated its growth, but it's only going one way. I have, you know, I throw numbers around in my decks around the total revenue that's predicted and the amount of players, you know, 350 million global players for Fortnite. And, you know, I think when you say that there is more people watching the World Championships of the League of Legends and the Super Bowl, people go, really?
Yes.
And then and if you look at the brands in particular that are coming into this or have already engaged, the reason they're coming is because 84% of the esports audience is under the age of 35. So there's only one place really that the brands can really access this audience and engage with them, and it's esports. So I'm excited for what the future holds.
It's interesting. COVID is a bad thing generally, but there's one space where it's actually done quite well, hasn't it?
Yes, but I think it still would be remiss to say that esports has had a bulletproof vest on, because without physical events, people have lost jobs, etc. Yeah. But you know, from an online perspective, it hasn't been harmed, I think it's fair to say.
Okay. Well,
a lot of businesses have pivoted. You know, we pivoted to online from physical. Blast Pro, we're running events all over the world. They've gone to online. So there's just been a few pivots.
Yeah. Do you think the events will come back then when we can finally do that again?
I'm going to be quite bold and say 100% because there's a lot of reasons to do physical events. I mean, we like events because they breed community and brands can have an experiential activation. In fact, for our Mayor of London National Esports Champs at the end of August, we're planning on having a two-day event in London. So I'm hoping that we'll be okay by then, or we'll be permitted to run a physical event of some sort.
Yeah, that'd be good if you can.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, yeah, I think that's probably quite a nice point to end on with hope for the future for us all. And hopefully, yeah, you can continue kind of growing and get your events. That would be really cool to see. So, yeah, thank you very much, Ollie. I think that was really interesting. I really enjoyed kind of listening to your thoughts. I think the company's definitely, you know, on a good path, and I really like your message. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Well, thanks for having me on, Leah and Mark.
Yeah, no, it's been a pleasure, Ollie. Yes, and it'd be nice to get you on sort of semi-regularly maybe to keep us up to date on what's going on in the esports, and hopefully as things start to open up again, we can keep close tabs on how the space is moving, and of course London United. But yeah, for now, that's great. Thank you very much, and yeah, we'll speak again soon.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, then. Bye-bye.